As long as there are children in this world without clean water, we will continue saying yes.
What if I told you that none of those people in that video are actors? We actually know two of them. They're real people. They're real people. So right now, you've got two voices in your head, right? And I know what everybody's thinking right now. So basically, you're sitting here, and you say, oh, this has to be for this person, because this is not for me, right? Who's thinking that? Yeah, I know you don't want to raise your hands. The other one is, maybe this is for me, because I've kind of been stagnant or idle in my ministry, and we all have a ministry. We realize that, right? We do have the Great Commission. We are called to make disciples and spread the gospel, right? What would be the fun of becoming a Christian and not telling anybody, you know? If I told you how to make gold out of sand and rocks, would you tell the whole world? Yes, you would. The gospel is even more powerful than that. And I'm here to tell you that this is a seriously impacting, life-impacting, not only them, but your own ministry. Then you're thinking, I'm not a runner, right? I'm not a runner. Oh, man, this is definitely not for me. But I'm here to tell you that when I first became captain, everybody on that team that year was, there was 26 of us. 26 of us crossed the finish line. 26 of us, it was our first race we've ever run. So now this is the third year, and we're really, Tim Amu, when you ran last year, was that your first race? Did you cross the finish line? Yeah, we provided the proper training, fellowship, group runs, love, prayer, food, Oreo cookies, bananas, right? Remember all those mornings? And so I'm just saying, if you think like God's calling on you right now, like if your heart's kind of feeling a little funny and you're like, hey, you know what? I haven't been doing enough lately. Maybe this is for me. Would you come talk to us right there at the table back there? It's not a commitment. It's really not a commitment. We have training from couch to finish line, not like my wife Grace says, couch to potato. No, it's couch to finish line. And we'd love to talk to you. Bring your questions. Don't just go out there and go out the door and just not come by. Because any questions you have, we have answers for. And we've all been in your shoes. I was in your shoes walking to that info desk. And so let's further God's kingdoms by being a yes person today. Thank you for having us.
Good morning. Good morning. My name is Corey Johnson, one of the teaching pastors here at Shelter Rock Church, and we're so happy to have you worshiping with us. If you've been at Shelter Rock Church for, say, more than a year, you'll understand that one Sunday out of 52 Sundays for the year, we dedicate to World Vision, and so today is World Vision Sunday. Amen? So could you put your hands together another time for Brian and the team? Awesome. You know, at my previous church in the Bronx, we had partnered with World Vision to do what we call every summer, you know, towards Labor Day and, you know, towards the end of summer, we would do this event called Back to School, Back to God. And it was our way of reaching out to the community and giving backpacks, you know, filled with, you know, crayons and pencils and books to kids who were impoverished, and they would go back to school. Because, you know, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, you know, and you had your JanSport. Anybody remember JanSport? Yeah. Come on, don't leave me hanging. Don't leave me hanging. Right? You don't want to go to school with a tore up, you know, backpack, you know, because you get laughed at and everything like that. And so it was just a joy to give these kids, to equip these kids with the tools that they needed to learn. And so, you know, I don't know if World Vision is still doing that, but they were a powerful influence in the community in the Bronx that we served at our previous church. And so this morning, as Brian said, we're going to issue a challenge to you this morning, and we're going to talk about your money and your possessions and your riches and everything like that. But as a church, one of the things that we want to do is that we want to anchor every decision we make in the Word of God. Amen? You know, as a believer, this Bible, this book becomes our guidepost for living. And before we make any major decision, any significant decision, we want to make sure that we see it in God's Word. Amen? Because if it's in God's Word, we can live it, we can teach it, we can walk in it, and we can trust God that He will help us to live out the truths that's in here. Amen? And so this morning, if you have your Bibles handy, could you turn with me to Luke chapter 12? Luke chapter 12, and we're going to be reading from verse 13 to verse 21. For some reason, I was hoping to hear the Bibles turn, the pages turn. I keep remembering that you guys have your devices, so they're much quieter. But before we get started, could you bow your heads with me, and we'll pray as we get into the Word of God. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for today. Your Word declares that this is the day that the Lord has made, and that we should rejoice and be glad in it. And so, God, we're rejoicing in your grace. We're rejoicing in your goodness. And so, God, as we delve into your word this morning, God, we ask that your spirit and your presence will be with us. God, open up our ears to hear and our eyes to see. But above all, God, give us the will to do what your word commissions us to do. I ask, oh God, that you will bless this time of gathering. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let me just give you a little bit of context here before we get into the word. Jesus is in a familiar setting. And, you know, if you read your Bible long enough, you'll understand that Jesus was always going on missions. He was always going about doing something. He was always moving from community to community, healing the sick, raising the dead, teaching and everything like that. And sure enough, whenever he went into a community, he would draw a crowd. That's just who he was. He would draw a crowd. And so he was always being followed by people, by droves of people that would come to him with all sorts of situations and all sorts of concern. And so on this particular day, Jesus was doing just that. He was teaching and he was moving about. And the Bible says here in verse 13 that someone from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And so if you know anything about Jewish culture, and their heritage is that whenever the father died, it would be up to the oldest brother, if you will, to divide the inheritance. And if you were the older one, more often than not, you'll get a greater proportion. And so that was one good reason to be the eldest child. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But something is happening here. Something is happening in the family dynamics such that this younger brother, most likely he's the younger brother, something is happening in the family dynamics such that the younger brother is not receiving his fair portion of the inheritance. And so he comes to Jesus because Jesus is a rabbi. Jesus is a well-respected person in the community. He's drawing a crowd. People listen to him. And so he solicits Jesus. He petitions Jesus and says, "Hey, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But Jesus responds, "Man, who appointed me judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard for all kinds or against all kinds of greed." And he says this statement, which is profound, and this is what we're going to be focusing on for the rest of the day. It says, "Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." It says, be on your guard, watch out for all kinds of greed, all sorts of greed, because life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. You look at this and you're like, but Jesus, this man's request was fair. Right? If he's due something, he should get it. But Jesus picks up on something and he says that your request is not motivated primarily by this notion of you're suffering injustice. It's motivated by greed. And Jesus is saying, watch out. Be careful what you put your trust in. And so as Jesus does, you know, he's a good storyteller. And so he moves on and he tells the crowd this parable. The Bible says in verse 16, and he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. This is how he starts out his story. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. And there are two things that I see here, which I just want to elaborate on. And the first thing is that, notice that this man was rich. He was rich already. And the first thing I want to tell you this morning is that there's nothing wrong with being rich. Depending on the translation you read, the Bible doesn't say it is money that is the root of all evil. It says what? It is the love of money that is the root or a root to all evil. And so there's nothing wrong with being rich, because there's some people think that, okay, if I'm rich, I must be dirty. There's something wrong with me. No. The richest person I know is God. And he's the purest person I know. I'll leave that until next week. Okay. So he was a rich man. So that's one. The second thing we notice here, it says that the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest, which suggests to me that all he did was that he planted, he watered, but if you know anything about the Bible, it tells you that one plants, one waters, but it is God who gives the increase. In other words, it is God who allows the ground to produce much and plenty. Do you see? And so one of the first principles that we want to talk about here this morning is that everything that we possess is a gift from God. Everything that you and I possess is a gift from God. That includes your money, it includes your time, it includes your talents, it includes your gifts, it includes your abilities, it includes your relationships. Everything that we possess is a gift from God. And that is important to know. It is important to understand. Because quite often, let me go here for a minute. If you don't see what you have as a gift from God, you will think you own everything. Let me ask some of you young folks. Have you ever been in a relationship where somebody believes they own you? Okay, probably you're too young. Okay, let me ask some of the older folks. Have you ever been in a relationship where somebody thinks they own you? She said, no, you don't own me. I'm a gift to you. Okay, I gotta clap there. Okay. But there's a difference between somebody who owns something in terms of their mentality and their attitude towards what they have. There's a difference between somebody's mentality if they think they own something and in terms of different from when they think they manage something. Amen? A manager is always going to the owner and asking the owner, what do you want me to do with your stuff? Amen? God owns it all, and he gifts us, and he gives us these things as gifts. Amen? For us to manage. Amen? Amen. Everything we possess is a gift from God. Let's continue. The Bible says that the ground, it yielded an abundant harvest. And then the man, the rich man, he thought to himself, what shall I do? What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. What shall I do? Have you ever been in a place where you run into an abundance of stuff? And isn't this the natural question that comes to mind? What am I going to do? You know, you get some unexpected money in the mail check in the mail, and you're like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do with all this? And you feel all excited and everything like that. No, you see some, you know, you get a promotion on the job, and you're like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And then you get some new friends, and you're like, what am I going to do? It's a natural response. When we get an abundance of something, it's a natural response to think, what am I going to do with this? And so this man, he thinks, okay, what shall I do? And that is the same question that Robert Pierce, that Brian referenced earlier, who is the founder of World Vision, that was the same question that was posed to him before he started World Vision. If you know anything about this man, he was a Baptist minister, and at some point in his life he had gone to China on a missionary trip, and as he was there, he encountered a woman came to him with a child who was battered and bruised and that was bleeding, and the lady presented this child to Bob, who was on a missionary trip, and he says, what are you gonna do about this? And we are told that Bob, he took out the last $5 that he had in his pocket, and he gave it to this child, you know, to take care of the child. But he didn't only leave it there. He said, you know what? I'm going to send back money every month to help take care of this child. And in 1950, World Vision was born. $5 birthed something that is now in over almost 100 countries, helping millions and millions of children. The question is, what are you going to do? What shall I do? When you think of all the things that we have, when you think of all the gifts and all the talents that we have, the question is, what are you going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? And quite often, the question is not about, you know, whether or not you have the resources available. The question is, do you have the will to do something about it? Amen? But here's a man who said, you know what? I'm not going to allow injustice. I'm not going to allow another child to suffer if I can do something about it. And the small $5 that he had, he gave it. And now today, we're experiencing the fruit of that. Amen? So the next thing that we see in the text this morning is not only that everything we possess is a gift from God, but the second thing that we see here is that everything that we give is a gift to God. Everything that we give is a gift to God. Amen? It's a gift to God. Let's look at the text. It says, then he said, talking about the rich man, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and I will build bigger ones and I will store my surplus grains. If you look at all the action words, all the verbs here, you'll see what he says. He said, I will tear down my barns. That means that he had multiple barns already that he had things stored in. He had more than enough, right? And I will build bigger ones, right? And there I will store. He's going to tear down, he's going to build bigger, and he's going to store. As I think about this, there's nothing in the text to suggest that his mind is towards giving. There's nothing in the text that suggests that his mind is towards God. Everything that he's mentioned is about me, myself, and I. Everything is about him. And it's one thing I know about you know, our vision is that when you have self-vision, you will always store. When you have world vision, you will always give. Ooh, I'm going to say that one more time. That was good. When you have self-vision, you will always store and hoard things. When you have world vision or other people-focused vision, you will always give. Amen? Because God wants you to be a conduit of his blessing. God wants you to be a conduit of his grace. God wants you to be a conduit of his love. And you can only do that through giving. Amen? If you look at the text, it says, I will tear down my barns, and there I will store my surplus. Do you see that? He didn't think of what he got as a gift from God, right? Because it's not really his. He was just called to be a steward or a manager over what God gave him. And he didn't think to give it back away. He thought to store it up. Can I talk to you young people for a minute? You're like, Pastor, you're young as well. Thank you. Those of us who grew up or felt in a very visceral way the impact of the financial recession that we went through in 2017, 2018, no, 2007, 2008, and those of us who went through that entire experience, you know, some of us, we didn't have jobs. Some of us, the job that we were in, we got stuck because we couldn't find, you know, another employment. Some of us, we lost our homes. Some of us, we lost our cars. Some of us, we lost our relationship because it was a very rough time to be in, to live in America. Anybody remember that? But for those of us who went through that generation and for those of us who experienced that season, we are tempted to fall. We are tempted to do two things as God blesses us and as God increases those things that he, you know, those blessings in our life, those possessions in our life. We're tempted to do two things. We can either store it up because we're feeling that, you know what? I don't want to go through that again. And just in case that occurs again, I'm going to make sure that I have more than enough to endure. We can either store it up, or on the flip side, we might spend it all. Those are the two extremes that we find ourselves in. We can either store, or we can spend. And God is saying, I don't want you to be on either end of those spectrums. I want you to be somewhere in the middle where you are responsible in your saving, but at the same time, you know how to give responsibly. Amen? It can't be all about me. It can't be all about, you know, me spending everything that I get. Amen? I have to be in a place to give. That not only applies to our finances, that applies also to our gifts, our talents, and our abilities. Do you see? Because one thing I realize in this life is that my gifts and my talents are never earned, they're only discovered. That was good. My gifts and my talents, they're never earned, they're only discovered. And once I discover what my gifts and my talents and my abilities are, I have a responsibility to give it back to the kingdom of God. And so if you're skilled at musician, play to the glory of God. If you're skilled at singing, my goodness, I can't hold a note to save my life. But if that is you, man, sing to the glory of God. Amen? If you're a preacher, preach to the glory of God. If you're an evangelist, evangelize to the glory of God. But whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. Amen? It's not just about consuming. It's not just about taking. It's not just about coming to church and sitting down and hearing the pastor preach a good message and then you go back home and everything is all right. No, no, no. God wants you to discover your gifts, and then when you discover it, develop it, and as you develop it, use it for the kingdom of God. Amen? So one thing I love about this church is that there are multiple opportunities for you to exercise in your gifts and your abilities. Amen? Plug in. Amen? Okay, now let's move forward. Amen? Your gifts are never earned, they're discovered. Everything we give, we're giving it back to God. It's a gift to God. Amen? So, as we continue in the text, we see here where Jesus continues the story. And he's telling, and you know, I can just imagine that he's captivating the audience and everybody's just listening to see, my goodness, what is he going to say next? Because if you understand anything about the crowd that typically follows Jesus, these weren't the richest of the richest. These were people who were in need. And here's Jesus telling a story about a rich man and what's going to happen. And they're thinking that, wow, this man is wise. Wow, this man is smart. But let's go back one more slide, if you will. It seemed wise to tear down barns and build bigger ones. It seems wise to store up surplus. But Jesus is going to point out something here, which for some reason is not coming up on the screen, but let me read it from my Bible here. It says, and I will say to myself, this is after he stores up all the surpluses, I will say to myself, you have plenty of grains laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. That sounds like retirement, doesn't it? And many a times as we think about life and as we think about what we're doing, isn't that the aim? Isn't that the goal that we make from life? That, you know what, I'm going to store, I'm going to have enough so that, you know what, I can take it easy. I'm going to have enough so that I can eat and drink whatever I want. I'm going to have enough so that I can do whatever I want. I'm going to have enough so that I can have the experience I want. And Jesus is saying, that's not what life is about. Because something is going to happen. The verse continues, but God said to him, you fool, this very night, when? Okay, you're in church, you can talk back to me. It's okay. What does it say, what? Your life is demanded from you. In other words, here's a man that is making future plans. Here's a man who's putting things in place that he's, man, I'm going to store up things. I'm going to have surplus for many years to come. Bible says, you fool, this very night, your life is demanded from you. And Jesus asked the question, then who will what? Who will get what? All. Some translations say, but who will get what you have prepared for yourself? He had no thought of the notion that, you know what I receive is a gift from God. He had no thought of giving back to God. And this leads me to my third point, which is this. That your generosity is always an answer to prayer. When you hoard, when you keep things for yourself, right? It's just for you. It's just about me, myself, and I. It's about what? Making sure that I'm secure. It's making sure that I'm okay. But you know what? God is not, one of the reasons why God blessed you is to make sure that you're okay. But when he starts to give you more and more and more, it's him prompting you to say, hey, now that you're okay, be a blessing to somebody else. Be the channel of blessing to somebody else. Let's look at what Isaiah 41 verse 17 says. It says here, the oppressed and the poor, they what? The oppressed and the poor, they do what? But what? But there is none. They're searching for something that they need to live. They're searching for something that they need for life. But in some of these instances, in some of these situations with some of these kids, the very thing that they're striving for is the very thing that's going to kill them. Why? Because it's contaminated. So when World Vision comes and say, hey, can you give? Can you run? They're saying, hey, we want to be answered to prayer. Because the poor, they lack water and there is none. Their tongues are parched from thirst. Many of us in this room, we have no context for what that feels like. Just going thirsty and thirsty, but you want the water, but there is nothing there to satisfy your thirst. Some of us, we just walk across the refrigerator and boom, we're good. Some of us, we carry water with us. In our water bottles, don't we? And we're okay. It says here, I the Lord will respond to their. I the Lord will what? Respond to their prayer. I the God of Israel will not abandon them. Your generosity is an answer to prayer. When you give, when you take out of your storehouse, when you take out of your abundance and you give to somebody else, somebody was praying, God, when are you going to provide? God, when are you going to send that need? God, when are you going to send somebody to bless me? And when you show up, you're an answer to prayer. Amen? You're an answer to prayer. And so this morning, as we think about World Vision, and as we think about what God is calling us to do this morning, do you want to be an answer to prayer? Do you want to be an answer to prayer? I was telling the first service that many of you know that I travel to Connecticut to work every day, and when you get up that early in the morning, you really don't have time to make breakfast. And so one of the things that I'm doing is you know, I stop off at Dunkin' Donuts. And I will get an egg, sausage, and croissant. Did I pronounce that right? I think so. But that is $4.97. I don't get a coffee because I can get coffee at work. Right? $4.97. And when I think about what Rob Pierce did over 50 years ago, he planted what? $5. And now it's producing a harvest. If I skip one meal per day, I can sow that. Hello, somebody. Some of us who are into the Starbucks thing, I'm not sure if it's still a thing. Is Starbucks still a thing? I guess it's still a thing. One cup of coffee can be $5, $6. And you're doing that 2-3 times a day. What if you were to spare just one cup and give that to somebody else? Hello. I'm not bragging or anything like that, but last year we sponsored one child from World Vision. And I said to Monica, World Vision is coming up again. Monica is my wife. And I said, Monica, she handles the money. Not trying to mess up your house. That's just how we do it. And I said to her, World Vision is coming up. I said, honey, can we sponsor two kids? And she said, Corey, we'll make it work. Just tell me what we need to do. I said, okay. We'll make it work. We'll make it work. Many of us in this room, it's not that we don't have the resources. We have the resources. The question is, do you have the will to do it? That is what it's about. Your daughter, your children, they don't need another pair of shoes. They have enough. You don't need that frame on the wall. Nobody even looks at it. You don't need another car. Come on, somebody. Yes. Somebody said that. You don't need those things. But you know what? Somebody in a land far, far away needs that. Somebody in Africa, somebody in some of these, they need that. And you have it on the wall. And God is saying, why don't we redirect our resources this morning? It's not that we don't have the resources, we have it. Do you have the will to do it? So when Monica said, hey, we'll make it work, said, okay, we're sponsoring two more children. So now we've sponsored a child for every child that we have. We have three kids. We've now sponsored three kids. Why? Because we can do it. Question that we've been challenging ourselves this morning is, what shall you do? It's not just what shall you do, what will you do? Somebody, you're an answer to somebody's prayer this morning. Are you going to be that answer? Amen? There are several ways that we can do that this morning. We've spoken about that. You can run a half a marathon. I'm not a runner, so I'm sponsoring. Somebody said to me this morning, Corey, but you have the frame to run. You know what? I probably do, don't I? I'll probably do that next year. I don't know about that next year. But if God is calling you to run, run as a family. Run as a group and get that person that water they need. Amen? And if God has blessed you with resources, sponsor a child, sponsor two children, sponsor four children. It's not that you don't have the resources. The question is, do you have the will to do it? Because you know what I realize about God? God is a giver, and God gave me his best and only gift, his son. He spared nothing. The Bible says that he became poor that we might become rich. Amen? And God is calling us to do and to be the same. Amen? Amen. Amen. With that said, could you stand? Thank you, sir. Across all the campuses today, we're trying to sponsor at least 75 children. And so on the screen, you're going to see this text information. It says WC Westbury Campus, sponsor, and text it to that number, 555-888. Sounds good, 555-888. But wouldn't it be awesome if of those 75 kids that we're trying to sponsor, Westbury sponsored at least 35? Come on, talk back to me. Yeah. Come on, talk back to me this morning. It'd be awesome. And so that's our challenge this morning, and that's my challenge to you this morning. As you step out these hallways, don't turn to that direction. Turn to that direction and sponsor a child or sign up to run. Amen? Amen? Amen. Bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for your truth this morning. We thank you, God, for reminding us that all the possessions we have belong to you, and it's only a gift. And so, God, as we come this morning and we've heard your word and we've seen where this rich man erred, help us, oh God, not to go along that path, but to change, do a 180 and travel down a different path altogether, where we acknowledge that everything is a gift from you, where we acknowledge that giving back to you is a gift. But above all, God, that when let us know that when we give, that we are answering somebody's prayer. Let that be at the forefront of our heart this morning, God, as we do something about the conditions of this world and as we do something about these children. who are waiting for us to respond. Father God, give us the will to do what you've called us to do. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.